Okay, Shalom everybody from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Erev Shabbos. For me it's the afternoon, for you it's Boker Tov. So Baruch Hashem, we are Zoche to learn right now all the way from Eretz Yisrael. So a couple of things before I go into Pinchas' Sefer. If you recall, we're talking about Ikvus of the Mashiacha, the period preceding Mashiach, which is what Pinchas is speaking about, which we will continue speaking about today. But just a couple of nice things. I was with my daughter today. Baruch Hashem, every day I was with my daughter. So she was telling me that last week she ate by the Machasers. This is not random stories from my trip to Israel. These are two vignettes related to Shabbos Kodesh, which is why I'm specifically sharing them. So last week she ate by the Machasers for Shabbos lunch, the famous Machnisei Orchim, like in the going in the path of Avraham Avinu, whose tent and home are open to all. So it was already the middle of the meal. It was the Shabbos lunch, Seuda, and there was a knock at the door. And she said there were already a lot of people there, and the meal was going. And she said, also Rabbi Machas, before the meal, he stands up, and he says everything he says in English and in Ivrit, she said, so everybody should understand. And he says this is her second or third time that she's been there this year. And he says to everybody, thank you so much for coming. Without you, my family would be alone. So we want to thank you for enhancing our Shabbos. And she said there's one little girl, a granddaughter, whose name is Henny. Sometimes her mother calls her, and she'll say, Henny Machas, come here right now. So he thanks everybody for coming. He always says a Dvar Torah. So last week, they're in the middle of the Shabbos lunch meal, and it was already very busy, and there was a knock at the door. So he said, oh, we have more Orchim. Can someone please go get the door? And nobody was opening the door. So he says, can one of the Machas children please go open the door and welcome the Orchim? So one of the kids goes to open the door, and he's at the table with the guests. And he says, how many people, extra people, do we have at the door? Two? Very good, let them in. Oh, not two. What did you say? 25? Not 25. 50? We have 50 more guests. Please let them in. And Tamar said, somehow, she said to me, Mammy, it's like the Beis HaMikdash. I said, I don't understand. Where were there chairs for 50 extra people? She said, I don't know. There was enough food for all the people to enjoy the Shabbos Seuda, and there was enough room for 50. She said, Mammy, a whole seminary came in. So this is Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. That's one thing. The second thing is we were in Geula this morning. It's a very, very rainy day here. It should be Geshmei Bracha. Stopped for a little bit, and we went to Geula for a couple of hours. So we bought some fruit. It's amazing here, being here during the Shemitah year also. Everything is labeled in the Shuk. If it's Heter Mechira, if it's Shishis, if it's Kedusha Shvi'is, if it's Nochri, every single thing you buy is distinguished. So we were in a little fruit store in Geula, where obviously there's no Heter Mechira, but every basket, every display of fruit tells you if it's Shishis or Shvi'is. Shishis or Nachri. Okay? How could you eat Kedusha Shvi'is? You have to be very careful with Kedusha Shvi'is. You can't throw anything in the garbage. Everything has to be. We didn't buy any of that. So it's either Shishis or Nachri. So anyway, we bought some clementines and some oranges to have for the hotel room. And when he gave us the Kabbalah, the receipt, he said to us with a smile, Kabbalat Shabbat. So I said to him, Zabdicha, nachon? So he said, Kem bdicha. I said, you're like making a joke. In other words, he gave us the receipt, and it's a play on words. Here's your Kabbalah. So what did he say? Kabbalat Shabbat. So these are a couple of reminders of why two Shabbos stories, of why Arab Shabbos story, of why Eretz Yisrael is really Ein Lanu Eretz Acheret. And it's a reminder of, oh, I want to tell you one third thing about Shabbos, okay? The first about the Machas meal. Rabbi Machas says, two guests, 25 guests, 50 guests, let them in. And my daughter said there was room for everybody. The Kabbalat Shabbat, when we bought the oranges and the clementines. And finally, one more thing I wanted to tell you about Shabbos specifically. Again, this is not reminiscing on my week in Eretz Yisrael. So I went to the Israel Museum Archaeology Wing yesterday with a tour guide. Specifically, we did the archaeology wing for 3 hours of the Israel Museum. So we saw many, many different things there. One of the things we saw was a stone block. It looks like Jerusalem stone that you see today, a stone block. And then the sign says, this stone block fell at the southwestern corner of the Temple Mount to the street below during the destruction of the temple. Okay, so we're talking about on her bais, time of Bayashani. There were different stone blocks. How did they do signs of things? You know, they didn't have electric signs, and they didn't have what we have today. So there were blocks and there were stones with inscriptions. So this particular stone block fell from the parapet at the southwest corner of the temple mount to the street below during the destruction of the temple. The inscription says, and since it's from Bayashani, you could read it, it's Hebrew. The inscription says, Lebeit Hatkiah. You could clearly see Lebeit Hatkiyah, to the house where they blow, to the house of blowing on Temple Mount. So what was this? To the place of trumpeting. The inscription reads to the place of trumpeting. It indicates it marked the place the Kohen would stand to signal by trumpet blast the beginning and end of Shabbos. This is, and my guide told me that the Israel Museum archaeology is unparalleled. The artifacts they have there can be found nowhere else in the world. And I've used them in the past. He's just incredible. So this specific stone block that fell from the time of Churban tells you that this place on Temple Mount is where the Kohen would stand to signal by trumpet blasts the beginning and end of the Sabbath. The third word is cut off, but it seems to say Lahavdil. Okay, to announce, it either says to announce the beginning and end of Shabbos or to separate between the holy and the mundane. Like Josephus records, above the roof of the priest's chambers, at the point where it was the custom for one of the priests to stand and give notice, by the sound of trumpet in the afternoon of the approach and of the following evening of the close of every seventh day. So if you've ever been in Yerushalayim in modern times, there's a siren that goes before Shabbos. Guess what? In the times of Bais Sheni, I don't know, but Bais Rishon, they had the same thing. The Kohanim would go onto Temple Mount. There was a special place where they stood, and they blew the chatzotzots, they blew the trumpets, and Josephus even records this. And here we found a stone from the time of Bais Sheni that fell down during the Churban that specifically says Lebeit Hatkiyah. You can see it. I saw it with my own eyes. I said to him, this is the actual artifact. He said, yes. And Josephus writes, I'm going to say it again, above the roof of the priest's chamber, so above the place of the Kohanim's chambers, at the point where it was the custom for one of the Kohanim, Josephus writes, the priest, to stand and to give notice, they gave notice by sound of trumpet, in the afternoon of the approach, and the following evening of the close of every seventh day, announcing to the people respective hours for ceasing work, and for resuming their labor at the close of the Sabbath. This comes from the Southern Wall excavations. It is from Jerusalem, first century before the Common Era stone. And it is just a stone block. Here, I'll show you. It's mamish, you could see, I know it's on the computer, but could you see? It's mamish, just a stone block. But if you look closely, it says, Lebeit Tkiah. So that's three things I wanted to share specifically from my trip about Eretz Yisrael. The Malchus home on Shabbos, Kabbalat Shabbat, when you buy clementines and oranges. And finally, what I was zocheh to see yesterday, mamash a stone from 2,000 years ago in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't announce it by electric siren. Rather, they announced it by trumpets. And we have true evidence of that, Rachmanan Tzan, from the time of the Churban. So now let's go to Rav Shimshon Pinkas' Sefer, where we are holding. Okay, so we're on page 52 of the Sefer. And what Rav Pinkas is telling us is that we have this vision in the time of Mashiach that everything will be perfect. And Pinkas is saying that it's not really necessarily going to be like that. We don't know what will be in the time of the Mashiach. But if you remember last time what we spoke about, I'd just like to give a recap so everybody knows where we're holding. We spoke about last time, one of the proofs he said that we are in the Ikvisa de Mashiach. The Ikvisa Mashiach is the footsteps or the heel, okay? So we're right before the time period of Mashiach, is he said, the tremendous revolution of Chozrim B'Teshuvah, something you have never seen in history, where people are so interested in Torah learning, where people are so interested in finding the Ribbono Shel Olam, where people are so interested in coming back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is a recap from last time's class. So therefore, that is a proof that we are in the Ikvasa de Mashiach. That's one proof. Anyway, so now we are coming to the top of page 52, okay? So it says that people who had sung to the lowest levels of Tumah, the lowest levels of impurity, suddenly wake up and they make a 180-degree turn. People who live lives of atheism and live lives of Chilul Shabbos, he writes, become accomplished Torah scholars. This is surely a miracle, says Rav Pinkas, of the days of Mashiach. Where does this reawakening come from? Why are people interested in being Chozrim B'Teshuvah? Why do we have this mass movement where people want to find, why do we have an Eshet Torah? Why do we have an Or Samech? Where people want to come back to Hashem? And last time we quoted from Yitzchak David Grossman. Okay, however, says Rav Pinkas, and this is what we're going to be speaking about today, it works in the opposite direction as well. Quote, we like to think that the moment Mashiach comes, and of course, spending Baruch Hashem meaningful week in Eretz Yisrael when you walk Yerushalayim and we're just waiting. And how many times did I say the Kapitel Tehillim this week, Shir HaMaals, B'Shuv Hashem, Eshivat Tzion, Ayinu Kecholmim, and we're waiting and we're longing, and Ani Mamim, B'Emul Hashem, Avias HaMashiach, my tour guide, we went to Caesarea for a full day. It was just incredible, the place where we think that Rabbi Akiva was murdered by the Romans in the Hippodrome / theater in Caesarea, and it was just unbelievable. Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kochba, it's well known that Rabbi Akiva believed that during the Bar Kochba rebellion, which was about 65 years after Churban Bayis Rishon, Rabbi Akiva believed that he was the Mashiach, Bar Koziva. He believed that that Bar Kochba was the Mashiach. So we're not just waiting for Mashiach now. Already, about 70 years after Churban, they were already waiting for the Mashiach, and we're still waiting. But nevertheless, it seems to be, the Mefarshim say that the belief is that today we're in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. Sort of, Rav Pinchas says it works in the opposite direction too. We like to think that the moment Mashiach comes, everything will be perfect. However, says Rav Pinchas, this is not so. And he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Actually, if you actually have the Sefer, the source is it's Tehillim Kapitel Aleph. That's a mistake, just for your reference. I changed it in my Sefer. It's really Kapitel Beis. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing for what I prepared for you on the screen over here. I must thank the hotel, even though they're not even going to know they thanked them. The Wi-Fi in the rooms are horrible, and they opened up a special area for me on the first floor, which is not really open today, so that I could teach this class. So I'm just expressing my Akar Satov, even though they don't know, you know, and the Rebbe Hashem knows. Okay, so Rav Pinchas quotes this pasuk, and the pasuk says, Lama ragshu goyim uleumim yehagu rik. Why do peoples gather and the nations speak up for nothing? Yisyatzvu malachei aretz v'roznim nosodu yachar. The kings of the earth stand themselves up and leaders consult together. Al Hashem va'al Mashicho. They stand up, leaders of the world consult with each other against Hashem, so to speak, and against his Mashiach. So Rav Pinchas says that just because Mashiach comes, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, even though we have this idea that it will be. It says, he says, quote, we like to think the moment Mashiach comes, everything will be perfect, but quote, this is not so, quoting these two psukim from Perek Beis of Tehillim that we just looked at. So now I'm going to go with you into the Gemara. So there is a very powerful Gemara at the end of Masechah Sota, right at the end of Masechah Sota. Oh, I forgot to ask if you could see on my screen. Could you see on my screen? Yes, okay, thank you. I don't remember who a few months ago said she wants to see my Shabbos Tichel. So since it's almost 4 o'clock in Eretz Yisrael, and here candles is at 5:07 in Jerusalem, if you're here, and this is the Shabbos Tichel. Okay, so one of them. So we're talking about Ikvas of the Mashiach. So I want to take you to a Gemara where the Gemara speaks about the Ikvas of the Mashiach. What is it going to be like in the Ikvas of the Mashiach? Ik from the word Ikev, the heel, the end of the Galus before Mashiach comes. And when we learn this piece of Gemara, you're going to see how it's describing our time. And you wonder how Mashiach cannot be here yet, because this is our time. Be'ikvas Mashiach. Again, why are we doing this? Because Rav Pinchas is speaking about the Ikvas of the Mashiach. Be'ikvas Mashiach, in the time period preceding the Messiah, right before Mashiach will come. Now I'm going to be teaching this to you. I made all the copies of everything I need for Shir, obviously, before I left. I'm going to be using the Art School translation, not Sefaria. I'm just putting Sefaria on the screen so that you can follow along with me. I'm going to be using the Art School translation as well as the Art School footnotes to elucidate what the Gemara is saying to us here. Okay, be'ikvas of the Mashiach, and the days before the coming of the Messiah, chutzpah yiske. So the first already understand what it means. Chutzpah means chutzpah. So what does that mean? In the period which will precede the becoming of the Mashiach, insolence, that's a translation, our article translates chutzpah, but I think we know what chutzpah means, insolence will increase. That's the first sign that Mashiach is on its way. And the Art Scroll footnote says, literally, with the heels of Mashiach, that's what Ikvas in the Mashiach means. With the heels of the Mashiach, insolence will increase. This simile refers to the final period of exile, says Rashi, when Mashiach will not yet have come, but the signs of his imminent arrival will be discerned, as though his approaching footsteps are already audible. Alternatively, Akev, which means heel, is the lowest extremity of the human body. It is a synonym for the end. So Ikvas of the Mashiach implies the end of the period of Galus, which will also be Mashiach. So since it's Erev Purim, it reminded me of something related that I read last week in relation, that I read this week, earlier in the week, in relation to Vashti. I'm reading the book. Oh, Dina Fried, are you in Shir? I'm enjoying your book very, very much. She's usually joins us Friday morning. So I'm enjoying very much Let My Nation Live by Rabbi Deutsch. So why does Vashti grow a tail? I never knew what it meant that Vashti grew a tail. The Medrash says she grew a tail. Actually writes in the book, she grew it from her forehead. So, okay. She grew a tail. So what's the symbolism? That's the lesson in the fact that she grew a tail. So he writes in his book, the explanation is she was the tail end of Galus Bavel, of Malchus Bavel. Her grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. I brought you an artifact from the second Beis HaMikdash. Her grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the first temple. She was a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, but she was the last in the line of the Babylonian Empire. So she was a tail indicating the end of the Malchus Bavel. So this reminds me of this. We're at the end of Galus Edom. So just like where at the end is indicated by the heel, the end of Galus Bavel was indicated by a tail. So I thought that was very interesting. So let's go back to the Gemara. Be'ikvas Mashicha chutzpah yiske. Insolence, chutzpah will increase. V'yoker ya'amir. Costs will soar. Costs. Last week my son said, or this week, gas has risen in California to $5 a gallon. And I have a friend who's here simultaneously who said that, I don't know, I was obviously not driving, but gas is up to $8 a gallon in Yerushalayim. It is what it is, but the point is clearly we are seeing that costs are soaring. Okay? And the art school footnote tells us as follows. The Maseches Tainis 7b lists insolence, chutzpah, and desistance from Torah study among those sins which cause drought. So in other words, the art school footnote is explaining, why do we say that costs will soar in the days preceding Mashiach? What does inflation and exorbitant costs have to do with anything about Mashiach? So Gemara Maseches Tainis says that chutzpah and desistance, not learning Torah, causes drought. And when there is drought, it results in high prices of any commodities that are left. The curse of inflation, says the footnote, is therefore a direct consequence of two conditions that cause the downfall before Mashiach. One, not learning Torah, and two, insolence or chutzpah. Those two lead to drought. Drought leads to prices will increase. So far we have said that in the beginning time period leading up to Mashiach, chutzpah will increase. Number two, costs will soar. V'yoker ya'amir. Hagefen titein pirya. The hayayin biyokir, the vine will yield fruit. So the vine will give its fruit. However, wine will be dear. So what does that mean? The vine will give its fruit, but wine will be dear. So Rashi explains, all will be involved in drinking parties. Today we see a lot of dependence on substance abuse, whether it's drinking parties or other substances, and we see this as well. It also reminded me, of course, of Purim. It just happens to be that we're learning this Erev Purim, and Achashverosh made party after party, and wine after wine, and drink after drink. And the climax of his party was the seven-day party, on the seventh day of the party, where he sent seven servants to Gavashti. What day was it? It was Shabbos. So when was he the most debased, the most drunk? He had 180 days of drinking, and then he made another seven-day party, and on the seventh day of the seventh party, he sends seven advisors, nothing in Tanakh is an accident, to bring Vashti, and she refuses, and she's killed. Why? Well, it's again a tie into Shabbos, because she made her Jewish maidens work on Shabbos, and therefore her downfall comes on the seventh day of the seven-day party by the hand of seven advisors who she refuses to go to. So one who makes a Jew work on Shabbos, we see his end ultimately will come. So going back to the Gemara, what does it mean? Even though wine will give its fruit, nevertheless, hayayin biyoker, the cost of wine will soar, it will be very expensive. Why? Because everybody will be engaged in drinking parties and some sort of substance abuse and going overboard, so the prices will go up. So that even a plentiful supply of grapes will not suffice to fill the demand for wine. Furthermore, what else will happen in days preceding Mashiach? Umalchus tehafeich leminus. Government will turn to heresy. There'll be no belief in God, in morality, in ethics, in seeing the tzelem Elokim, in fellow man. Umachus teafeich leminus. Government will turn to heresy. Ve'ein tochachos. There will be no rebuke. What does it mean there will be no rebuke? So the article footnote says two things here. One, the world's dominant power will aid the spread of non-belief. And that's what we see today. We see the world's dominant powers aiding the spread of non-belief. And furthermore, what does it mean there will be no tochacha? No man will be able to reproach another. When a sinner is admonished, says Rashi, he will simply say, who are you to give me tochacha? You are no better than I am. So talking about this idea that governments will promote heresy, they will increase heresy, there will be no fear of God in the world. My daughter told me that in the basement, she's on the Neve campus, she's in the Benos Avigayel Seminary, which is Rabbi Tzin Tzipora Hillel Gottlieb and Rabbi Kass's seminary. She told me, Mommy, she said 2 days ago, there's a family from Ukraine living in the basement of my dorm building. She didn't know. She said her friend made a lot of soup and she wanted to offer it to them, and she didn't know what was going on. She said she saw the little girl. She looked about 5. My friend, daughter said she started crying. She, my daughter, started crying. She said they have 2 suitcases. They don't speak Hebrew. They don't speak English. They only speak Russian. They have absolutely nothing. And they're living in the basement. They ran from having a whole life. There were hundreds of thousands of Jews in the Ukraine, a vibrant Jewish community. It's mamish like my grandparents in the Shoah. It's something that we're seeing today that we can't even imagine. Governments, umalchus tehafeich leminus. Governments have no fear of a higher power. There is absolutely no Yerushalayim in the world. I'm not talking about religion, Jewish or not Jewish. Just to believe that there's something above you and you're answerable to a higher power. And there's a respect for the Tzal Malkim and other people. And then lastly, my daughter and I, a friend here, arranged for me to meet with Yonasan Rosenblum. She said, I know you really enjoy his writings. I read his book about Noah Weinberger. I read A Tap on the Shoulder about Rabbi Meir Schuster. Most recently, I read his column in Mishpach every week. So she said, would you like me to try and arrange a meeting with Yonasan Rosenblum? So my daughter and I, she drove us yesterday. My thanks to Mrs. Miriam Wasserman for making the connection. And she drove us late at night to Harnof, and we met with Yonasan Rosenblum for sure for over an hour. And in his living room, when you walk in, there were duffel bags. So he said, oh, excuse the mess, we have a family here from, which, Uman, a family from Uman. He said he doesn't know them. It's his one of his daughters-in-law's first cousin. They arrived last night. They have 2 babies, and so the wife is 7 months pregnant, and they came with duffel bags. So they were telling about the trip they had to take just to get her. They took a bus. It's unbelievable things. We're seeing things that we could not have fathomed what we would see again in our day. Umachus teafeich leminus, and governments will turn to heresy. Ve'ein tochachos, there's no one who can give rebuke, because Rashi says in the Gemara, when you got to rebuke someone, they're going to say, what are you giving me tochacha? You're no better than I am. What right do you have to give me rebuke? Furthermore, says the Gemara, says, what else will there be in the time of the ikvus of the Mashiach? By beis vad yeliznus. Beis Vad, the places where the sages used to meet, will become a Beis of Znus, a Zona, a Beis Zonos. The places where the sages used to meet will become a home for Zonos, a gathering place for prostitution. So the art school footnote says, in Tanaic times, in the time of the Tanaim, Bate Midrash, study halls, were generally built outside of the towns. With the decline of Torah study, they will fall into disuse. And Rashi explains on the Gemara, their isolation makes them favored locations to become a Beis Zona. So it used to be that that's where the Chachamim would gather. But with the decline of Torah study, they're not being used anymore. Since they're on the outskirts of the town, it's a perfect place for the Zonos to go and for them to set up a house of harlotry. Alternatively, the article footnote continues, there will be meeting places for harlotry. Sinners will be so brazen that they will openly designate places of immorality. Sinners will become so brazen, there won't be any busha, there won't be any shame, that they will openly designate places of immorality. Going back to the Gemara, so what have we had so far? Chutzpah yiske, insolence will increase. V'yoker ya'amir, the cost, inflation, things will go through the roof in terms of prices. Hagefen titempiria, it's true that the vineyards will give their fruit, v'hayayin biyoker, but there's such a demand for these substances, there's such a culture of partying and drinking that the cost of wine will increase. U'malchus tehafeich laminus, you're going to have people running hundreds of thousands, millions of refugees, Jews coming, they don't know anything, they left their communities, their families, they come with nothing. Like my daughter said to me, she was giving some of her sweaters, there's a yellow dor gemach in Harnof, and everything in the yellow dor gemach costs 2 shekels, and she says it's a beautiful gemach, they have nice things. She says, she was thinking to herself, this family can't even go, they don't even have 2 shekels to their name. They left with nothing. Umachus teafeich leminus. Governments will turn to heresy, ve'ein tochachos, and they'll be known to give rebuke, beis vad yeliznus, which is what we just explained. The houses of what used to be for talmidei chachamim, people will become so brazen, there's no Torah learning anymore, and it will become homes for znus, prostitution, v'ha'galil yachrav, the area of the galil will become destroyed, v'ha'gavlan yisham, and the gavlan will become desolate. So the Aretz Kufa note explains the galil, we know what that region is. The gavlan, says the Aretz Kufa note, is a region in the land. Okay, va'anshe ha'gevul yisovavu mi'ir li'ir. People will just wander from city to city. V'lo yichonenu, they will have no one to give them aid or sustenance. And this is what we're seeing today: this idea of refugees, people going from city to city, running from place to place. V'lo yichonenu, it's translated by Art School as. But they will not be succored. I hope I'm saying the word properly. S-U-C-C-O-R-E-D. So what is they will not be succored? So I looked it up when I was preparing this year. Succored means there's no one to give aid or assistance. So they will not be succored means that there's no one to give aid or assistance. Okay? From the word like chen, chasno, and there will be no one to have mercy to see the charm in them, to help them, or to assist them. And this is what we see today. Anshe gvul yosovavu. People are standing at the borders. Me'ir le'ir, and they're trying to find any place to run to get out of their city. This is all the description of the Gemara and Sota Mem Tes Amar Beis of what it will be like be'ikvas of the Mashiach. And I ask you, is this not describing the times and the ages and the condition of the world in which we live? How prophetic were Chazal. If we say we are in the ikvus of the Mashiach, look what is happening around us in the world. Continues the Gemara, what else will happen but ikvus of the Mashiach? V'chachmo sofrim tisrach, the wisdom of the scribes will decay. So you will have less and less sofrim, and less Torah scholars, and their wisdom will decay. V'yirei chet yima esu, and those who fear sin will be despised. Mi'us is something like disgusting in modern day Ivrit. The mo'es, it's revulsion. Yirei chet yimesu, those who actually have yir shamayim, they will be the ones who are abhorred. They will be the ones who are abhorred. They will be the ones who people turn away from and are disgusted by. Those who are yirei chet. V'ha emes tehe ne'ederes. And the truth will be absent. The article footnote says that in Masechah Sanhedrin, it records a homiletic interpretation. Ne'ederes is from the word eder. If you look at the Shoresh, ayin, dalid, resh. Eder means a flock. So homiletically, this is the truth has been divided into flocks, meaning men of truth will be compelled to flee from towns and they will only dwell in small groups. So they will become flocks. In other words, they used to live in the towns and now they have to run away from the center of town because no one wants to hear the truth. No one wants to hear the truth anymore in the world in which we live. There's so much corruption. So, emes tehe ne'ederes either means that the truth will be absent, or homiletically, according to the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, it means that the men of truth will have to flee and gather in flocks in small groups. Look at the next one. Ne'arim pnei zekenim yalbinu. The youth will embarrass the face of the elders. Yalbinu, amal bin pnei chaveru berabim, enu chelek b'olam haba. Lahal bin pnei chaveru is to whiten someone's face, is to embarrass someone, to cause their blood to drain, to turn white. So in this case, ne'arim pnei zekenim yalbinu, youths will blanch the faces of elders. Rashi to Masechah Sanhedrin says this means they will shame them publicly. There will be no reverence. There's no mipnei seva takam on the bus here. You know, it says in the front of the bus, by the handicap seat, so to speak, it says on the front of the bus, there's a sticker. It says mipnei seva takam. That's how they tell you to rise before the elders. In the time of the ikvus of the Mashiach, the youth will not have respect for the elders anymore. Zakenim ya'amdu mipnei ketanim. Will come to such a state of insolence and chutzpah that the elders will stand before the youth instead of the youth standing before the elders. Ben minavel av. Bas kama be'ima, kala b'chamosa. Look at this. The son derides his father, like a minuval. The son will be a minuval to his father. Bas kama be'ima, a daughter rises against her mother. Kala b'chamosa, a daughter-in-law rises against her mother-in-law. That is actually a quote from the Pasuk. The Gemara is now quoting a Pasuk from Micha. Okay? And finally, Oyve Ish Anshe Beso. A man's own enemies are the people of his household. The youth will embarrass the elders. They're so outdated. Laugh, jokes, everything is leitzanus. Elders will be forced to rise before the youth. The son will be a menuvel before his father. The daughter rises against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oyve Ish Anshe Beso. You know, unfortunately, you speak to people, a lot of people. Sometimes we look at a home from the outside and we think it's perfect inside that home. And you talk to people. And you hear things that go on behind closed doors. Rachmana Litzlan. Sometimes, Hashem have rachmim on us. It's happening by the Kosel with different names. Sometimes, the Maisa, what the Gemara tells us is true, according to the Pasuk of Micha. Anshe Beso, Oyve Ish. The people of his house. And Mamash, the person's own enemy. So, since I'm teaching from Zoche to be teaching from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, should also be a tefillah and a zechus that everyone should be Zoche, that the Anshe Beso should be Ohavav and not Oivav. And maybe Yavin, those who need, perhaps are listening online, perhaps it's you, and I don't know. Hashem should have rachamim on us. Pnei hadar ki pnei hakelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. What does that mean? So the article footnote explains, quoting Rashi to Masachah Sanhedrin, they will be shameless. Just like a dog is shameless, they will be shameless. Alternatively, the face of the generation refers to the affluent, who will lack compassion and will refuse their destitute brethren charity. Just like dogs, they refuse to share the meat that they have scavenged. Okay, so pnei hadar ki pnei hakelev, either they'll be brazen like dogs without any busha, without any shame, or referring to the affluent of the generation, just like dogs will not share their food, so to the affluent of the generation will not share their food with their destitute brethren. The article footnote now continues with a teaching from the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, Rav Chanan Wasserman, in his sefer, Kuntras Ikvos Mashicha, Lachanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem Yinkom Damo, quotes an explanation from the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim teaches as follows. What does it mean, the face of the generation, Pnei Hadar? The face of the generation are the leaders. The leader must guide his people authoritatively and teach them right from wrong. That's the job of a leader. It's the job, I asked Yonason Rosenblum, of course, I'm not talking about, you know, the Gedolei Hadar, but someone prominent who writes in many magazines and articles, and people read his column every week. And if you're like that, then you give a message over. And I said, how do you decide what to write every week? So my son at home in America, he said, did you tell him we read his column every week? So I said to him, what should we call it? Is a rabbi? Is a mister? I said, in my house, you're just Yonason Rosenblum, because we always say, did you read Yonason Rosenblum yet this week? So the face of a generation is a leader. A leader, that Chofetz Chaim explains, when it says Pnei Hador, it means you're talking about the leaders of the generation. A leader must guide his people authoritatively and teach them right from wrong. But in the period before Mashiach, the Chofetz Chaim says, the leaders will first check to see if their views will be popularly received. Like a dog that looks back to see if its master follows. So in other words, we shouldn't be afraid to speak the truth. If something is not politically correct, but that's Das Torah. So Torah doesn't always have to be politically correct. If we're always looking around to see what will people think before I say it, before I do it, then it's going to be, you're going to end up not going according to Torah. Since Rav Chanan Wasserman quotes a Chofetz Chaim to explain this piece, I'm going to take a parenthesis from the article footnote, which was a parenthesis from the Gemara, and she's expounding upon what Shimshon Pinkas is teaching us. The tour guide said he kept interrupting himself to tell us other vignettes about history or artifacts or the time by his region, by his shame. He says it's a parenthesis. He said a very good line. He says all of life is really a parenthesis. So I'm now quoting from a sefer of the Chofetz Chaim. So we just learned Pnei Hadar ki Pnei Hakelev, the Chofetz Chaim says, as quoted by Rav Chanan Wasserman in the Ikvos de Mashicha, that in time before Mashiach, the leaders will be afraid to speak the emes. They'll always be turning around to see what people will think, if their opinion is popular or not, just like a dog turns around to see who's following him. And that's not the emesic way. It has to be that a person says the emes and does the emes and lives a Torah life, even if it's not popular. So this reminds me of another piece of the Chavetz Chaim, where Chavetz Chaim speaks about Ikvus of the Mashiach. It's still on theme of Ikvus of the Mashiach. I thank Rabbi Shai Schechter for sharing this source with me. The Chavetz Chaim teaches as follows. The Karav Hadavar Me'od, the matter is very close, its translation is my own, Shezimanenu Hu Ikvus of the Mashiach. So Pinchas writes in our book, we are in the Ikvus of the Mashiach. The Chavetz Chaim already said, figure 100 years ago, the Karav Hadavar Me'od, Shezimanenu Hu Ikvus of the Mashiach. It is very clear that the time in which we are living is the footsteps of the Mashiach. The Hayer Ra'ui L'chol Echad L'hischazik B'Torah U'V'Maisim Tovim. What should we do to greet the Messiah? How should we get ready if we are in the Ikvus of the Mashiach? So what should we do if we're in the time period before the Mashiach? L'hischazik B'Torah U'V'Maisim Tovim. The only thing we could do to welcome Mashiach and to turn the world back from this upside down state is to be strengthened in Torah learning, which Baruch Hashem we're zochah to be doing now together, v'maisim tovim and good deeds, u'laharbos shalom b'Yisrael, and to increase peace amongst Israel, k'deisha techria kaf shel zchus. So we should tip over, we should be down the kaf zchus. Hashem should judge us to the side of merit. If we increase our Torah learning and if we increase our maisim tovim, that will tip the scales, k'deisha techria kaf shel zchus, the kapit, the kaf, the spoon of schus will be tipped in our merit. Ve'eich lo yichared lev kol ish Yisrael. How could the heart of every man in Israel not be afraid? Lir'os shadavka bizman hazeh. When we see specifically this time, which is the ikvus of the Mashiach, matzliach ma'asei satan. The satan seems to be successful. How? So the Gemara is talking about the increase in minus Kofus and the decline in Torah study. The Chavetz Chaim is going to talk about something else, a different aspect of the Ikvus of the Mashiach. Shedavka bizman hazeh, when we should be increasing Torah and Maisim Tovim, matzliach maisei satan, laharbos kitatos in merivos, bekama ayeros b'Yisrael. The satan is being successful. Don't you see, he says, that argumentation and quarrel, fighting kitata, and meriva, are increasing in cities in Israel, and through infighting, when one Jew fights with another, Shem Shemayim is mischalal. The tour guide told us something fascinating in Kesari. It was such a fascinating day. Oh my gosh. But one thing that he told us, how did the Romans even get to Eretz Yisrael in the first place? Why were they even in Eretz Yisrael in the first place? Going back to the time of the Chashmonaim. So I'm in Bayesheni. In the time of the Chashmonaim, which was really a 20-year war, we just talk about Hanukkah, it's one isolated incident, but the battle between the Chashmonaim and the Hellenists, and then the Syrian Greeks, lasted over a period of 20 years. So when the Chashmonaim were fighting against the Hellenists, they wanted to call the Romans to help them. They couldn't fight back against the Hellenists themselves, they were very powerful, and the Hellenists needed the help of the Romans as well. So both sides send letters to Rome asking their ally to come. The Chashmonaim send letters to Rome asking them to come, and the Hellenists send letters to Rome asking them to come. So Rome receives these letters, and Rome says, wait a minute, they're fighting with each other. I'm not going to help either side. I'm going to take Palestina. I'm going to take the land of Israel. I'm going to conquer that land. So it was actually going back to that time period, the time of the Chashmonaim. I don't have my notes in front of me right now to tell you the exact year before the Common Era. Okay. It was more than 100 years before the Common Era. The Romans came to the land. They sailed here. And they conquered the land. So what happens when we're fighting with each other? The enemy has an in. What happens when we're fighting with each other? Satan has an in. The Chavetz Chaim says in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, instead of being mischazik in Torah and maisim tovim, ulahar bo shalom b'Yisrael, we're fighting with each other. How could you not see? He says it's the maisa Satan. He's being marbe ketato meriva. Quarrel and infighting, Bakama Ayaros be Israel and all these cities in Israel via days and is Khalashem Shemaimot. And through this there's a tremendous Khiloshem. The Ad Kama Hachiv Gada al Baal Ma Shayesh Biyadolimchos, and everyone has a tremendous chiyuv. Whatever you can do, you must do. You have to know what a tremendous sin this is. We have to get along with each other. If we want any hope of ending the Ikvus of the Mashiach and to move into the period of Mashiach itself, we have to learn that Jews must get along with each other. The Chavetz Chaim says, my brothers, my friends, have mercy on yourselves. Rachmana letzlan on yourselves. He says, have mercy Tzion Klal Yisrael, Kadei Shelo Yeshmo HaGadol Mechulal Od, so that there will no longer be Chilul Hashem, how much this relates to Purim as well. How do we celebrate Purim? Not by being Horish from the Tzibur, not by secluding ourselves, not by fasting and standing only with the Ribbono Shel Olam all day in Tefillah. How do we dafka celebrate Purim? Mishloach manos umatanos le'avyonim mishta v'simcha. You sit down at a mishta, you invite other people. Mishloach manos, you give friends food packages. Matanos le'avyonim, you open your hand to the destitute. So dafka Purim is celebrated by showing how Klai Yisrael should be friends with each other, should be lovers. He says, Achai v'rei'ai, chusan al atzmechem. You must have a Havas Yisrael, says the Chavetz Chaim. He has a sefer called Havas Yisrael. Well, Klai Yisrael, have mercy on Klai Yisrael. Kadei shelo yeshmo agadol mechul od. So there'll be no mechul Hashem. V'yis ameitz laharbo shalom bekomo. Everyone has to make sure to increase, work very hard to increase shalom where you are. U'bizchuzah, and in this chuz, nizke lishmoa kol mevaser shalom ba'olam. Kol mevaser, mevaser ve'omer. The Chavetz Chaim says, u'bizchuzah, and in this merit, Nizke Lishmoa Kol Mevaser Shalom Ba'olam. We'll be zocha to hear the trumpet blast of Mashiach. Once again, atop Harabais, how do we start cheer? We found the stone on Miwi. The archaeologists found the stone that fell down from the southern wall of Harabais during Churban Bayis Sheni. And what does it say? Beis Tekiah. And what did they do by Beis Tekiah, Josephus tells us? What did they do? That's where they announced the incoming of the Shabbos soon here in Yerushalayim. There's going to be a siren. Very rainy. Still have to get to where I'm going. It's okay, I can walk. It's about 20 minutes. So there was a Beis Tekiah for the Kohanim, and they would take the Chatzotrot, and they would blow that Shabbos is coming in, and they would blow when Shabbos ended. So you know, says Josephus, when to cease work and when to resume your work. So the Chavetz Chaim says, you want to know how to end the Ikvus of the Mashiach and begin the period of Mashiach itself? Shalom, Bein Adam Mechaveru, Ahavas Yisrael. Let's be friends with each other, and then we'll be zoche lishma kol mevaser mevaser meomer shalom ba'olam. Once again, atav hara Maria, we will not see shu alam hilchubo. Go down the steps from the rova, yuter kriya. You say a pasuk from the Nevi'im, the house of our glory, Aisal esreifa, v'chol mechmedai lechurba, and all of our beautiful places have been destroyed. And we stand there crying. Look what is there, Ribbono Shel Olam. Where is our Beis HaMikdash? Where is the Beis Tekiah? Let us not hear the siren from, I don't know how they blast it out, but let us hear the Kohanim again, blowing the sound of the shofar. Let's end the Ikvus of the Mashiach. And let's usher in the ultimate, which is a day that is Kulo Shabbos Umnucha L'chaye Olamim. It won't be Shabbos every 7 days. It will be a Kulo Shabbos Umnucha L'chaye Olamim. And the end of days. Let's just finish with the Gemara. So that was a parenthesis, because that was the Chavetz Chaim from a different source, where he too talks about the Ikvus and the Mashiach, and he adds something that the Gemara does not touch upon, which is the importance of Shalom Bein Adam Mechaveru. So we were up to in the Gemara. So what do we have in the Gemara, just to end? Insolence will increase, chutzpah yiske, cost will soar, and these are all things which we have explained with Rashi to the Gemara, as well as the elucidating footnotes that we are seeing in our times. The vine will yield fruit, yet there is such a demand for substance abuse, Rachman al-Tzlan, for wine. The governments will turn to heresy. There will be no one who could give rebuke. The house where the sages used to meet will become a base zona. The Galil and the Gavlon will be destroyed and desolate. People will wander from town to town. We will have refugees, we will have people wandering. There will be no one to aid them. There will be no rest. The wisdom of the sofrim, of the scribes, will decay. Those who dread sin will be despised. The Yerushalayim will be the hated people of the generation. Truth will be absent. Torah scholars will be forced to flee like flocks of sheep. Youths will blanch the face of elders. Elders will rise before youths, like the Pasuk says in Micha. The son shall deride his father. The daughter rises against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. If you know any such case firsthand, like I do, it's so painful. If just make shalom. It's just caused so much pain to parents. The daughter-in-law will be against her mother-in-law. That man's enemies are the people of his own household. Pnei dar ki pnei hakalev. The face of the generation is like the face of a dog. We explained it to, according to Rav Chana Wasserman, who quotes Chavetz Chaim. The leaders of the generation, we'll see what's politically correct before I say it. And finally, we quoted the Chofetz Chaim, who from a different source, I think, of Rishai Shechter. I actually don't know which sefer it's from. He shared a source sheet with me. I reached out to him, but it just says the Chofetz Chaim. Obviously, we trust that Rishai Shechter's source is from the Chofetz Chaim, but I don't know what source it is. We have to increase Ahavas Yisrael. Stop making a bizayon and have mercy on yourself, says the Chofetz Chaim. Please. Furthermore, let's finish with the Gemara. Habein Eino Mispayish Me Aviv. The son is no longer embarrassed in front of his father. This new generation, they're not embarrassed in front of the elders. And the Gemara concludes and says, who can we lean upon? Who can we depend upon? Only our Father in heaven. But many years ago, so it seems to be at the end, the Gemara is giving you hope. The Gemara is saying, oh, you have something to depend upon. It is the Ribono Shel Olam. I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say an unbelievable gevaldik years ago in the name of Rav Chaim of Elozhin. Rav Chaim of Elozhin says the end of the Gemara is not a consolation. It too is a curse of the Ikvas of the Mashiach. When people stop doing hishtadlus, they become so despondent, they give up on themselves, on Klal Yisrael, on Eretz Yisrael, on Medinat Yisrael, on the Ribono Shel Olam, and they say, I can't help myself anymore. There's nothing I could do. I'm so mechal anes. That's not the way of Klal Yisrael. We're not so mechal anes. We know everything is from Hashem, but we must help ourselves. We have to be proactive. We have to learn. We have to do. We have to go out. We must do our hishtadlus. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, the worst curse is when people say, I give up. And a whole list of curses. The Gemara is saying that that's the worst. A person has to say, of course everything's from God. Of course I rely on Hashem. Of course. Yom Shekula Shabbos Umnucha L'chaye Olamim is going to come, but I got to do my part to get there. I have to increase Shalom. I have to make sure to be respectful. I have to make sure to increase Torah learning. I have to make sure to enhance my Shmir Shabbos. Don't say, I give up, God. It's only up to you. The ability to bring Mashiach is in our hands. I may be soon. At the Machlis door. Rabbi Machlis will say, there's a knock. Could one of my children please get the door? And it will be Malach HaMashiach. And once again, atop Har HaBayis, there will be the Beis Tekiah, where the Kohanim will blow the trumpets, telling us Shabbos is coming in and Shabbos is going out. So may I'm a kehaleiv. I thank you for this chus of allowing me to share the Torah from Eretz Yisrael on Erev Shabbos. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. And our sponsor always likes to remain anonymous, but you should just know our sponsor and hostess, how much I and all of us appreciate her and her family's commitment to the Torah that we share. Tizku l'mitzvos u'lamayisim tovim. Shabbat Shalom from Yerushalayim. Thank you so much, everybody.